Yahoo, West Coast, what's going on?
We are well. We are back together again, minus one of our compadres here, but that's okay. We'll forge on without Mr. Mike.
He may join us. He may jump in. We'll see.
Then we'll all be better for it. One show, one drink, part of the What We Watch When We Drink podcast from the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network and your unofficial podcast of taco trucks of all of North America. We are here again to talk television and drink. And we have this very special guest.
Wait for it. Before we bring her in, let's not spoil it. Let's roll the intro.
Welcome to One Show, One Drink, part of the What We Watch When We Drink podcast from the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network, where we take one show or film and pair it with one boozy beverage. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com. And if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Shall we bring in our guest?
We should.
All right, let's bring her in. Joe!
Welcome. Welcome,
Joanne. Joanne McInnes, the Whiskey Lassie.
I
forgot the Whiskey Lassie. I forgot that part in the intro.
Yeah.
Very important. Very important. The most important part. That's how we know her.
Well, we knew she liked whiskey. That was a little bit. We didn't know she liked TV.
I think that's an understatement on both counts.
Probably is an understatement.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So tell us about your TV love. Not what our topic is tonight, but tell us about your television past, your television present.
Ooh. Well, honestly, I have to say that I'm not usually a person that watches a lot of television, but with all the COVID madness that we've been experiencing and the fact that after a long day at the office, I was mostly brain dead and jello, it was easy to fall
into. When you say office, you mean your bedroom?
Well, yeah, pretty much. The spare bedroom, the den, the kitchen table at the beginning.
Wherever the whiskey and the food are.
The windowsill at one point, I literally had my laptop set up in the windowsill because I couldn't sit at the kitchen table at one point anymore. So ergonomics, you know.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So
this is the story of the world in the last 2 years, isn't it?
Isn't it nuts? It's crazy.
It is.
Yep. But thankfully, I am better stocked than most liquor stores and have plenty of glassware and plenty of time on my hands, so it was easy to put the feet up, grab a whiskey, and watch all kinds of weird things, to be quite honest.
So here you go. What do you watch when you drink?
Depends on the mood. If I go into what I call the dark places, I have a tendency to watch a lot about the Second World War for some bizarre reason. I've gotten on a kick of watching anything that has to do with Hitler or Nazi concentration camps, like really dark. And that's usually if I'm drinking.
Documentaries?
Yeah.
Or movies?
Yeah.
Or...
Documentaries.
There's a lot.
There is a lot out there.
When you grew up, and even now, did you watch a lot of American TV?
No. So we didn't have cable. We had two channels. No, sorry.
Two?
Three. We had three channels.
Wow.
Two were French Canadian. And one was from Bangor, Maine.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm. I mostly grew up watching, like, French-Canadian television, which was interesting. It was very interesting. So,
and very French.
And very Francais. Yes, very, very Francais.
But like, Canadian French.
Even worse.
What does that mean?
Quebec French. I mean,
yeah, Quebec French. There's a difference.
I didn't say that. There is. There's a massive difference.
What was on the channel from Maine?
I remember...
Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Bob Ross.
Yeah. There was.
Oh, that's funny.
I think we had PBS. I think that's
right.
What we had.
See, Bob Ross.
That makes sense.
Yeah. We would have had Bob Ross, and we would have had like kids programming, Cooking with Julia Child.
A little Masterpiece Theater.
Masterpiece Theater.
There you go. Upstairs, downstairs.
I don't remember that one, but it's probably something my parents would have watched.
I'm sure you got Monty Python.
That's funny.
I did watch a lot of Monty Python, when I got a little bit older. Obsessed with Monty Python.
That is amazing.
Yeah, but mostly French television.
Okay, so we've got World War II stuff and Holocaust stuff and all that joyous stuff. Anything else? What else?
Oh, yes. Yeah, if I was in a mood for, like, I just needed a good laugh, I was watching Space Force.
Oh, is that any good?
I really liked it. It is quirky as hell. I'm a big John Malkovich fan, so that was like the main Malkovich reason I decided to kind of tune into it.
Season two, I think, right?
Yeah, it just literally dropped. And I also, I'm ashamed to say that I had never watched any of the Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's good.
When it first came out. So yeah. I binged Breaking Bad.
That was very good.
And the best pairing for Breaking Bad is a Lafroy quarter cask. I think I went through three bottles.
I was going to say meth, but you know.
Well, you know, Lafroy quarter cask over and over and over again when you're binge watching is, yeah, it was an interesting trip. That's for sure. Uh-huh.
Have you watched Better Call Saul?
Yes, I followed up with Better Call Saul.
That's coming next month, right?
Yeah, and I would argue, I think I may like it better.
I don't know. See, because my background is chemistry, like,
okay.
I was enthralled with, the writing. I mean, the writing is good in Better Call Saul, but it takes a lot to surprise me. Like, I don't like when shows are, what's the word? Oh my God, I'm thinking in French and speaking in English, and this is not working for me right now.
We do that all the time.
When things are so, like, predictable.
Uh-huh.
I'm that kid that goes to the movie and sits next to the friend and goes, this is what's going to happen next. And they're like, shut up. And it does happen.
Oh, it's you.
It's me.
She's the one.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Or I figure things out like mid-movie. I'm like, or I'm tired of the explosions in slow motion, you know, towards the camera.
Well, the artistic look. Oh,
for me, it's really the journey, though. It's really not. I don't really care about the ending. Like, spoiler. But you still got to get there.
Yeah. No, the ending is usually disappointing because you're always like, oh, that's it? Like, no.
Speaking of Breaking Bad, Angie and I have been trying our darndest to get Messrs. Paul and Cranston to come on the podcast through social media, and this hasn't worked yet. So they could pimp out their mezcal that they've got. What's it called? Dos Hombres.
Dos Hombres. That's it. Yeah, Dos Hombres. That would be fantastic, especially Cranston. I wouldn't even say a word. I would just let him talk because he's a great storyteller.
That would blow my mind.
Hey, if you guys are listening.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we can't get him. I also want to get Steven Soderbergh, and I want him to talk about his stuff from, he's bringing some stuff up from South America.
What's he bringing?
Sincani something.
There is so many freaking celebrity booze things now. It's insane.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's nuts.
Well, it's fun.
It's great.
Well, revenue stream.
Well, that's a good way to move into what we're going to be drinking tonight. Let's talk whiskey. I think, was this Joanne's idea?
Well, you know, we were talking shows, and Joanne pitched three shows. So I wanted to find something that we could all kind of have access to without having to pick up another streamer. Like, that Dead Still looked awesome. I watched the preview. It looked fantastic.
That's the one.
But I couldn't do another streaming service right now. That's okay. So I make
that's
a
back. That's the Raj one, right?
Yeah.
Raj wants us to watch that one.
Acorn, I think, does like you could do like a 7-day trial or a 1-month trial. So I may just do it, pick it up, and then just drop it. But
it's supposed to be really good.
It looked great. It really did look great.
It's dark comedy.
Because Raj talked about it, but I never saw the trailer. And the trailer was fantastic. So it looks like fun.
Yeah.
It looks really fun. What was it? It was Dead Still. What was the second one? There was Miracle Workers, which is the one we're going to talk about. And what was the third one?
I don't remember.
There was a third.
Oh, it was Killing Eve. It was Killing Eve.
Oh, Killing Eve. Yeah. So we did Miracle Workers. And then, you know, they were like, they're angels, aren't they? The people working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think of a pairing.
In season one.
And I said, Angels Envy. So that's our.
Perfect.
Angels Envy Rye.
The rum cask.
Yes. Or is a rum cask finish, correct?
It's a rum cask finish.
And I believe it's a MGP rye because it's the 95.5.
It is. I love the bottle.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. Shall we pour some? We'll pour. We'll do a little cheers, and then we'll go into it.
All right. I'll even make the. There we go.
Yes, we are.
There you go. I got a little glug glug too.
Ooh.
All right, folks.
Glug glug.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Salud.
So this came out when around like 2013.
Yes.
And we reviewed it way back in 2013, and I haven't really had it that often since. But I remember really, really enjoying this.
It's hard to walk away from that bottle.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, it is.
It's just so pretty. Every time I look at it, there's something new I see on it.
Ooh, la, la, la. Oh, oh.
The nose on this thing, it's really fun.
It is.
It doesn't remind me of rye.
No. I find moisturized delicate, like, and floral. And this does not have that vibe whatsoever.
No, this, you get that little sweetness. You get a little pineapple.
Do we know where the rum cask is from?
No idea.
I don't think they divulge that information.
Well, they do it in batches too, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
Because I remember when it first came out and it kind of got popular, a lot of folks, you know, the whiskey geekerati, you know, they would all complain about the batch variation because apparently there was a lot of it. I vaguely remember a lot of buzz about that. You know how we can get.
Annoying.
I'm over that. So, you know, now I just want to drink.
That's the whole point of batch though, isn't it?
That's true. The inconsistencies.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you want. You want the batches to be different.
Oh, I agree. I don't have a problem with it.
Oh, this is delicious though.
I feel the same way about Abuna. Abuna comes out with different casks all the time, right?
Oh, yeah.
And some of them are like, oh my God, like number 37 still sticks out in my brain is probably one of the best casks I've ever had.
If Mike was here, he would say batch 28.
Would he really?
Yeah.
Would he really?
He's like, oh, that's funny. Like, oh, but it's no batch 28. Because we've had numerous, I've never had a bottle, but they've had numerous bottles amongst the neighbors. And it's always like, oh yeah, 47 was good, but it's no batch 28. I think it was 28.
Bozzy's like this with cast strength Lefroy.
Okay.
Ooh, batch 7 was the best for me. That.
There you go. Okay. We need to get Joanne and Bozzy together and argue about cast strength Lefroy.
That's just nice.
I know.
It's really good. I haven't had this in years and I still like it.
It's got a little bitiness to it. Like a little slap on the face. Not a big slap. Just a wake up.
95% rye should be a little spicy, right? And then you got this whole thing with the rum cask that makes it, you know, kind of balances out that spiciness. And I don't know, the mouth feels really good. It feels nice.
It is. Mm. And there's that little bit of sweetness, like a little like burnt sugary sweetness going.
So some of the polarization of this is that it's too sweet.
I don't think it's too sweet.
I don't think that's true.
No, I don't think it's too sweet.
I saw someone on some post said, oh, I'll put on my pancakes. It's like syrup.
Oh, come on. Like syrup. They've obviously not had Crown Royal maple syrup.
That's right.
Now, I would probably take it and turn it into a creme brulee sauce.
Oh, that would be good. Ooh. That'd be nice.
Is it terrible that I put whiskey in just about everything? No wonder my mom thinks we're alcoholics. No.
Ah. There needs to be like a really good, good cookbook that's alcohol-centric.
Yes.
You know, it's always two drops of some rum and not even specified what rum. But there needs to be, like, this is a Angel's Envy cream brulee.
Yeah.
I mean, and then it's the major part of the recipe. Let's go do that after we're done with this podcast.
Okay, that'll work. That'll work.
We'll write a cookbook. Well, let's get on to our television watching here. Miracle Workers. Now, Joanne brought this to our attention, and I knew of it because my wife watched it, and I only saw like the first episode or two when it came out, like in whenever this was, 2017-ish, maybe? I was intrigued, but I didn't stick with it. And this was actually fun to go back to and really dive into. So we'll let Joanne pick it up from here. How did you find this? Why did you stick with it? What? Why do you like it?
Oh my God, I saw it on TikTok. Yeah,
and then we'll talk about what. And then we can talk about, what'd you say?
I saw it on TikTok.
Oh my God. Click. Show over.
That's it. And we're done. Somebody sent me a crazy little, like it was just a TikTok with Steve Buscemi doing something bizarre. I think it was likely the episode, one of the episodes where he actually goes to visit his parents or something.
Oh, okay.
He's walking in with the bag and the flip phone or something. And I was what is this? So I looked it up. Huge Steve Buscemi fan. I have a friend who can get just about anything I want to watch on a specific streaming thing.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was like, can you look this up? Can you get this for me? Look at me. Look at me. Can you look this up? Can you look this up and get this for me? Because nobody actually talks anymore. We just text, right? So he did. Yes. He got me the first season. And I watched the first episode kind of like going, I don't really know if I understand or quite get this yet. And then I watched the second episode and it sort of kind of like grew on me like a scab that I just wouldn't stop picking.
Okay.
And then by the fifth episode, I was hooked and I was like, that's it. I love it. Texted my friend, give me more. So binge watched all three seasons.
I watched the first four episodes kind of off and on over the last couple of weeks. I've been trying to get through it. I put it on too late. I get tired. I get like, I fall asleep and I wake up. And the thing, you know, the streamer keeps going. So I wake up and I'm in like season 2, episode 5. I'm like, what the hell just happened? So I keep going back to the beginning again. So I've watched episode one probably three times. And then tonight, I finally, after I was working until 8, and then I said, all right, I got to watch the last three episodes. So I watched episodes 5, 6, and 7. I should say the end of 4 and then 5, 6, and 7. And by 5, they got me.
Yeah.
It took 4 episodes to get into it.
So for those who have not seen this show, this is a 2019 show, sitcom comedy that came out on TBS, and it's based on a novel from a writer named Simon Rich, and his novel was called What in God's Name, and the short story called Revolution, which is the second season, which is based on. And it's, I don't know, how do you explain this? It's Life of God, played by Steve Buscemi, and we follow along with the cast on Heaven, who kind of manage things going on down on the surface of the earth where the humans are. And Daniel Radcliffe is one of these angels.
Well, he makes wishes come true, right?
He answers prayers.
That's it. That's the one.
Right. He is joined by a helper, played by Geraldine Visnawan, I think her name is. And she comes to help him, but she's kind of a go-getter. She wants to kind of turn things around. And he's kind of like, he's kind of boring. Let's kind of not change things up too much. And then things change. Anybody want to follow up with how it changes the series?
Basically, they go to God. They just kind of like barge into his office. And she's trying to talk about all these changes she wants to make and the stuff that she thinks she can do. And he kind of gives them a, I don't want to say an ultimatum, but he kind of like throws a challenge to them, and because he wants to destroy the earth. He's done. He's hating humans. He doesn't like where it's going. He just wants to start from scratch and create a revolving Lazy Susan restaurant with the earth is what he wants to do, which makes no sense whatsoever. And so he throws them a challenge, and he gives them a certain amount of time, and they do like a doomsday.
14 days.
Yes. They've got 2 weeks to make this one particular wish or prayer come true. And that's where it just goes off the rails and they start doing some really weird stuff.
And it's two people to get them to basically to have it come together.
Come together, yeah.
Well, they have to kiss.
Yeah. And they have to kiss.
They
have to kiss.
That's right.
Or the world will implode. Mm-hmm. God is played by one of the great actors of our time, Steve Buscemi.
Absolutely.
Who we all love him.
I do.
We could name, each of us could. Yes, he is godlike, right? He is so great. And the fact that he's doing a network TV show to me is, well, TBS, is just amazing. I see him as a HBO guy, Boardwalk Empire.
He was on Sopranos, Fargo.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, how could you forget him in Fargo? He's the little guy.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, he's had a quirky career, and it gets quirkier as he gets older. He's in Portlandia in a few episodes. He's all over the place. And this, it sort of fits that, mm-hmm. right? But it's TBS. You think, this how quirky can this be? It's pretty quirky.
We were going back and forth about Buscemi, and I did, what were we talking, making a little basketball analogy. I said he was like the sixth man of the year.
Yeah, sixth man.
Because he was always never like, he was never a leading man. Generally speaking, he's never a leading man.
He's the big leading man. No. Right.
But he is the savior of many a film back in the 90s. You know, Con Air, not a very good movie. He was great. He's in Armageddon, and he's always interesting. Like, he's always good. There's always like these really good character actors, which is what he is.
Yes.
And he saves the day. He was great in Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, that's probably that's the first time I saw him was Reservoir Dogs.
He's in Mueller's Crossing too. I think he's in a few of the Coen Brothers.
Oh, yeah. He's in that. I know he's in Fargo for sure. He's got a big part in Fargo, you know, and he directed a couple movies. Is he in Barton Fink?
Yep. He's in Big Lebowski.
Oh, he was great in Big Lebowski. Now, granted, he was overshadowed by John Goodman, but still, he was really good in Big Lebowski.
The fact that he's in this show is kind of pumps it up a lot for me. Daniel Radcliffe is in this show. Now, a lot of people don't know who Daniel Radcliffe is. He had this little thing, you know, a while back. This Harry Potter thing. Ooh. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it.
Not a fan.
Doesn't ring a bell.
It's this iconic movie series, and to get away from that in some way is tough. He's Harry Potter. And he's actually done a lot of weird things since Harry Potter. He was in the theater in London.
Naked.
That's right. Naked. Yes, naked.
Oh, he was naked.
He was naked. Magic wand and all. Mm-hmm. And get that was like a little Harry Potter joke. And now he's in this quirky little show on TBS, on American TV. Yep. It's kind of wild to me. And he's not afraid to tear away these things that we all think about him. He's not just Harry Potter. He's actually a really good actor. Mm-hmm. And he's actually a really good comedic actor, which you don't really see a whole lot in Harry Potter. So now he's an adult and he's kind of the lead dude in this series. And I think he's really good.
So were you hooked from the beginning of the show or did it take a little bit?
Well, I was hooked when I saw it whenever it came out, but I didn't go back to it.
So you were hooked, but then you were unhooked.
Too much other TV probably 2-3 years ago, gotcha. Whenever it came out. So this was great to go back to it. And I got hooked pretty quick. I laughed. I cried. It was good.
The first 3 episodes didn't make me laugh. I wasn't crazy about it. It was all over the place. You know, the acting was a little bit like over the top. But tonight, I was in the halfway point of episode 4, and then it started to click. I think it helps that I was awake when I was watching it, so that maybe made a little more sense. Once you basically knew where it was going, you know, once the story settled and everybody's got their, you know, they all have their game to play, all the role players, you know, they have a goal and they're all working together, then it kind of kicked in, you know? And then when God went to see his parents, then it all made sense.
Yep.
I'm like, what the hell is wrong with God? There's something wrong here.
Yeah, he's the middle child. Oh, spoiler. He's the middle child.
Then it all made sense.
He's trying to make mom and dad happy and it never does.
And proud.
And it's sad.
And that's always your first mistake, right?
Yeah. I find the DNA of this show on the back end fascinating.
Okay.
DNA, look at you.
These books are written by this author, these short stories, Simon Rich. He is a Harvard kid.
Huh.
He's like in his 30s. So we hate him already. I think he was editor-in-chief of the Harvard Lampoon. The Jumping Stone. Let's say Stepping Stone, because that's actually the right word. That's the right phrase. The Stepping Stone from Harvard, the Lampoon, is what? Saturday Night Live. And that's where he was a writer for a few years.
And who's a producer on the show?
Say it.
Lorne Michaels.
Guess who's a producer of this show, of Miracle Workers?
Lorne Michaels.
So it's this whole SNL, Harvard, DNA, and you're going to like this, Ange. Looking more about Simon Rich, his dad is Frank Rich.
Who's Frank Rich?
Hold on. Frank Rich was a New York Times writer for 40 years. Op-ed guy.
Really?
Pulitzer Prize winning guy. Now is in television. Executive producer of Veep.
Ah.
Producer of, wait for it. Succession.
Oh.
Is that wacky?
That's interesting.
It all goes back to Succession. I mean, it all goes back to Harvard. You can go from Harvard to SCTV, which is in
Canadian.
And it's all kind of connected.
Wasn't Conan O'Brien also the editor of the Harvard Lampoon?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Interesting.
But he's probably, what, at least 10 years older than Simon Rich, I would think.
Well, this kid is 37. He looks like he's 15, but he's 37, apparently.
Huh. He was a writer on Wonka. That's coming out next year.
Oh, really?
In 23.
Interesting.
A Willy Wonka movie. Huh. Oh, that's right. And he was a writer and producer of American Pickle. It was really fun. I loved it.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen
it. Oh, it's pretty good. Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's on the list.
And that's sort of in this weird world, too, of this kind of quirky story. The kid's got some chops, I think.
Bastards. I hate him already.
How is our Angel's Envy?
Delicious.
It's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
How much was left?
That was the last of it. I saved it.
You saved it for us?
I may need to refill.
I've been holding on to it for quite some time. It's one of those, you know, when you have like the end of a bottle, and so I put it in a sample bottle so that it wouldn't oxidize. So
gotcha.
But every once in a while I'd get like really pissed off about something and go, that's it, I'm drinking. No. And it would just sit there. So
I'm glad
I shared it with you guys. Thank you.
I'm glad you did too.
Remember I said every time I look at this bottle I find something different?
Yes.
On it. I never noticed this. I don't think I've ever seen this on a bottle. So on the side label where it has the batch number and the bottle number, it's handwritten.
Yeah.
Right. This one says batch. I think it says 13C. Somebody has really bad writing. The bottle number is 3373. Below that, it says uncorked on, and there's a little space. So you can write when you open it.
Oh,
really?
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. If I can show you.
Sweet.
What was that?
Wow. Yeah.
You see that?
I see it.
That's interesting.
I've never seen
it. Our listeners can't see it, but we can see it. Side note, when we saw The Angels Envy, I was scrolling through the HBO Max, and there's a movie called Wings of Desire. Have you ever seen it? It's an older movie. It's probably from like the late 80s. I think I saw it when I was in college. So it's directed by Wim Wenders, German director. So there's these angels hovering above Berlin, and they're just kind of keeping an eye on people and all this stuff. The only people that can see them are children, of course, which is, you know, that's kind of a trope, right? Where kids can only see like dead people or whatever. So they see these angels, but the angels are kind of like keeping an eye on people. And one of them kind of wants to be human, and he falls in love with this woman, and it's all shot in black and white. And it's really bizarre. It's really, really bizarre. Like a real like impressionist kind of film. Peter Falk has a little cameo in it. The lead angel is this guy, Bruno Ganz. He's a German actor. I think he was in this movie Downfall. He might have played Hitler. It was like about the final.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
I think it might have been him. But it's a really interesting movie. And I started watching the trailer, and I got kind of sucked into the trailer. Now I kind of want to see it again. So I almost thought.
Is it in German?
Yeah, it's in German. Peter Falk plays himself, though. He plays like an actor.
Oh, not himself, but Peter Falk. He plays an actor.
He plays as Peter Falk.
Oh, that's so weird.
And he's filming a movie in Berlin. I haven't seen this movie in like 30 years, but I think he's actually like a fallen angel. Like he comes to Earth and he becomes a human. I think. I vaguely remember that. I don't know. Because he could see the angels.
What was the name of this again?
The name of the movie is called
Wings of Desire.
Wings of Desire.
Yeah, check out the trailer. The trailer is really cool.
I'm going to write it down.
Der Himmel über Berlin.
Yeah. Sure, something like that. I guess it's probably like The Angels Over Berlin.
I'm looking at the...
You know, they did a remake of it with Nicolas Cage, actually.
I'm not a fan.
Nicolas Cage?
No, not really.
I like 80s, 90s Nicolas Cage.
One of the best films of the 1980s, it says.
Which one?
Wings of Desire.
The remake.
The remake or the original?
When did it come out? When did the original come out? 87. Oh, that would have been the original one.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was weird. It was definitely weird.
Wow.
Oh my God, I think I saw the one with Nick Cage in it because it's Meg Ryan.
I think I did too.
Meg Ryan. Yes.
Yes.
I can't remember what it's called though.
I lost a bet.
City of Angels.
That's it.
I lost a bet and had to go watch a chick flick with a friend.
So you don't like chick flicks, Chicky?
Not really, no. I'm not a chick. I'm like...
No, you're the whiskey lassie. You're the whiskey lassie.
So here's my confession.
Okay, go ahead.
A little while back...
Don't worry, no one's listening.
We had to do...
It's just between us.
Bless me, Father, for it's been 7 years since my last confession. We had to do some training with regard to transgender people entering the workforce and being a little more inclusive and diverse. And so we did this training where we had, I felt like she was a kindergarten teacher. So there's 20 of us sitting in this room and it was mandatory training, which is fine. I love to learn about all kinds of different things. And this is how she spoke. Good morning, everyone. Welcome and so happy to have you in my class this morning.
So what you're saying is you wanted to punch her in the face.
I wanted to rip her eyes out. So we did this training where we talked about what people see on the outside. We were compared to gingerbread cookies. That was the analogy we used. So on the outside... Wow. I look like a girl. I was born with all the girl parts. On the inside, I might feel like I like girls. And then, like, it just went on and on and on and on, which was really bizarre. And then at the very end, she kind of made us do like this little personal questionnaire. And you don't have to share it with anybody. It's just for your own knowledge so that you understand the psychological part of who you are as a person. So I'm answering these questions. And basically, I'm a man stuck in a woman's body that likes men. So I'm a gay man stuck in a woman's body.
Well, that's fun.
What do you do with that knowledge? Does it change your shopping habits?
Yeah, well, not really. Whiskey Lassie dresses like a girl, but Joanne McGinnis mostly always dressed like a boy-ish. And I like boy-ish stuff. And don't ask me anything about The Bachelorette. Don't ask me anything about any housewife of anywhere of anything. Don't ask me to go to a chick flick. I lost a bet.
Funny.
I can't do any of that crap. I'd much rather talk about football and go on a motorcycle ride and drink whiskey and
sail.
Oh, and hey, one thing. By the way, you mentioned gingerbread cookies.
Yeah.
That would go really nice with this whiskey.
Oh, you're so right.
It would.
I think when you said it, I may have drooled. I'm just saying. I may have drooled.
There's a little bit of that going on in here.
I got a hint of ginger earlier.
But like a candy ginger.
Not like sushi ginger, but a little candy ginger. Candy ginger.
And I've grown to really like ginger. I never used to like it, but I really enjoy it now. It's really good.
I literally eat candy ginger.
Delicious. Delicious.
I dice ginger every morning.
Yeah.
Every morning of my life, I dice ginger and it goes into my chai every morning.
In your chai? Oh, do tell. Oh, do tell.
What do you do with Marianne? That's the question.
Hell.
If you're dicing ginger, what the hell's going on with Marianne?
La, 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 la.
We've gone off the rails.
That's all right.
So a few years ago, I love chai.
He's chai hound.
Drinker. And chai, I'm chai hound.
He's chai hound.
Instagram.
I'm so looking that up.
Okay, he should be.
No, it's just a hashtag. Okay. It's a hashtag.
Okay. Okay.
So,
hey, I gave you that hashtag. Don't forget.
You did. And I'm always in search of a great chai. Okay. So when I go to a city, I look for a coffee house that has allegedly the best chai.
Okay.
And my wife had one of her coworkers who's from India invited us to his home for a kind of a traditional Indian dinner with a bunch of other of their work team, whatever the hell they do. And he had for me some little miniatures of Paul John. He actually brought me back a bottle of Amrit one time that I still have from India, an Indian bottling of Amrit. It's bottled at 41.3% because that's like the max that they can have actually in India or something that's not for export. There was this amazing spread of food, like traditional Indian foods. It was, the colors were just popping like watching a Bollywood movie. It was just amazing. It was just such a fun night. And then later in the evening, and I had brought a bunch of whiskey. It was fun. And there were some Indian friends of theirs and they're in the kitchen and they're doing something around the stove. What they're making is tea, chai. And it wasn't like they took out like a, some syrup out of the, cabinet or, a tea bag from Starbucks. Oh. They were making this thing. It was wonderful. So I had to watch this process. And I got to watch the whole process of these people making chai in a traditional way. And there was an argument between four of these people because this little lady, she's not doing it right. And this guy's, you're not doing it right. And no, you're not doing it right. And so I had to recreate this in my mind. This is like 4 years ago. And I've been kind of doing this now for like 4 years. And part of it is chopping up fresh ginger and infusing it in the water. Mm-hmm. And then you put in your black tea with a lot of other spices, allspice and cinnamon and nutmeg and such. And then you add the milk at the end. That is my chai every morning.
Wow.
Yes, it's a lot of work every morning.
I got one word for you, Nespresso. Milk optional.
If there was an espresso version, I'd be all over it. But there is not an espresso version.
Well, actually there is. We call it a dirty chai.
Really?
Oh, that's got coffee in it though, right? That's got, but I don't drink coffee.
That's why we call it a dirty chai. You add like just a shot, like a half shot of espresso to a chai tea.
Hmm.
Oh my God. It's better than my ex-husband. Just saying.
I have heard about this dirty chai. I see dirty chais in certain coffee houses. I see that.
So good.
As a thing you can get.
It's so good. Especially if you have it cold. Like it is just... Think of all the
cold,
yes,
ice dirty chai.
Ice dirty chai. Just think about all the flavors.
Or is it a dirty ice chai?
Ice dirty chai?
I think it's ice dirty chai.
I think it's an ice dirty chai.
You don't want dirty ice in your chai.
I don't want dirty ice.
No.
Well, the bottom of my Yeti mug that I take to work every morning is not pretty at the end of the day. Everything above that bottom 3/8 of an inch is great. So that's my ginger story, and I'm sticking to it. So we've had Angel's Whiskey Rye tonight. We've talked Miracle Workers. Does anyone else have any TV talk they want to bring up? Anything that's just like, that they want to just like, they got to tell me about?
Okay. I found a show. Now, remember we did the Catastrophe episode?
Recently,
okay.
Yes, we did.
So I did the Catastrophe episode. I'm still watching Catastrophe. I'm on like season 3. And
so you're rewatching it, you mean?
Yeah, I'm rewatching it. And I got to say, it's funnier and darker than I remember. If you want dark...
Joanne, you should watch the show.
Catastrophe's pretty crazy.
Writing that down.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay. Tree, what's it about?
Well, you could listen to our podcast, One Show, One Drink, Catastrophe, and what did we pair it with? What did we do with Catastrophe? What was the whiskey?
We paired it with something.
The Middleton's.
The Irish. We did the
Middleton's Very Rare 2017.
You're kidding.
So there's two writers. It's Sharon Horgan, she's Irish. She's an actress. She's a writer. She's a producer. And this guy, Rob Delaney, who is an American stand-up comedian, I guess.
Yeah, I think he started in stand-up. Okay. Yeah, he's basically an actor.
They got friendly on Twitter. They're like, hey, we should write together. So they come up with this show. So she's like a woman living in London. He's an American, goes to England, goes to London for work. They hook up in a bar. They basically just have a really good time for 4 days, have a whole lot of sex. They only use a condom twice. 3 months later, she gives him a call, said, hey, Rob, guess what? I'm pregnant. So he decides to be the Great White Knight. And they decide to get married, and then all hell breaks loose from there. And that's the show.
You're kidding. Are you guys screwing with my head?
No.
This is true.
They decide to have a baby together. Marriage comes way later. They don't even know each other.
Oh my God.
They barely know each other. So, and the supporting cast is great, and it's very, very good.
It gets dark. It goes to some dark places. He was an alcoholic. So he's on the wagon.
He really is.
Oh, in real life he was too, yeah.
He really is. He really, in real life, yeah.
So he was on the wagon for like many, many years, and then all hell breaks loose with these two. So, but it's really good. And the writing is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculously good.
And his mother in the show is?
Carrie Fisher.
And this is just before she dies. Just before she dies.
Yep.
Up until the Carrie Fisher part, you were talking about my childhood, but... okay. I might suffer from PTSD if I watch this show. So I don't know.
It's rough. I was watching it last night. My wife's like, I can't take any more of this. It's just too intense. I gotta go.
God. Yeah. It gets pretty dark.
There's a lot of shit going on.
But it's funny.
Okay.
It's funny though.
Oh, so my point was, so I was doing the Catastrophe thing, and then of course I'm trolling Sharon Horgan on Instagram, and she posts like, you know, she hasn't posted in a while. She's like, oh, I'm back, and blah blah blah. And she talks about a few things she worked on. So she was executive producer on a show called Frayed, which takes place in Australia.
Frayed.
Yeah, I think I watched that.
The woman was in England and she marries a guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they lose their fortune and then she goes back to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
I started to. I didn't finish it.
Oh, I liked it. I like it a lot. I thought it was really good.
I thought it got bizarre.
Oh, it was. It was really strange, but it was really fun.
Okay.
It's really fun though. You've both seen Finding Nemo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So remember Gil? The Willem Dafoe fish, the angel fish.
Oh, yes.
So imagine, so remember, Gil was in the wild, right? Gil goes in the tank. Now Gil's got to go back to the wild. So this is essentially this character, right? Because she grew up in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
She leaves Australia, goes to England. She gets all civilized. Then everything hits the fan. She's got to go back to Australia. She's back in the wild, you know, and she's pissed off all these people. So everybody's mad at her because she just kind of up and left and went to England and, you know, kind of became all this posh English woman, and she's telling all these lies about how she grew up and all this stuff to her kids, and you know they got to go back and kind of just deal with stuff. So, but it was really good. I liked it. I thought it was a really good show.
So what did Sharon Horgan have to do with this?
Oh, she was a producer.
Oh,
so she's an executive producer, and the woman, the star of the show, is actually an Australian stand-up comic,
Sarah Kendall.
Yep. So she's actually a stand-up comic, and I guess she started writing the show and all this crazy stuff. So, but it's really good. I thought it was fun.
Ah, that looks fun.
It is fun.
Dark ish.
Not as dark as Catastrophe, but it is good. It is really good. I enjoyed it. So watch that. We'll watch you watched Inventing Anna, right?
Listen, I binged on that one.
You know, it was weird because I liked the first episode. Then the next two episodes, I was kind of like, but then I got back into it again. And then I enjoyed it. I really liked Julie Garner in it. Julia Garner.
Julia, I think.
Ruth.
I think it's Julia.
Our girl Ruth from Ozark.
Yes, Ozark.
Ruth from Ozark.
Yes, that's the reason I decided to watch it, because I really liked her.
She's
in
good.
Ozark. Yeah.
She's good. You know what else she's good in? Have you seen The Americans?
You're the second or third person that has talked about this, and I can't find it. I don't know where it is.
I'm not sure either. It's either on Prime or it's on Hulu. I'm not sure where it's at these days.
I'll be able to find it, but I don't have Hulu.
Great show.
It might be on Hulu because it was an FX show. And I was late to the party on that one. My wife talked about it forever.
I like Carrie. What's her name?
Carrie Russell.
Yes.
Felicity.
I remember watching her from Felicity, and I really, really liked her. So I tend to do that a lot. It's like if I like an actor.
We like Matthew Rhys because he's Welsh and he likes Pandaren.
That's right.
Oh, well.
He's like the unofficial brand ambassador,
what,
right?
What is...
He's, yeah, unofficial.
What is not to like?
He's cool. I like him. I like him a lot.
Jason and Joshua had him on their podcast. Mm.
He was great. He was really good.
Pandaren is the worst tour I have ever been on.
Really?
In my distillery.
Pandaren?
History.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Why? What happened?
Probably about six or seven of us from what I call the whiskey fabric. We were from all kinds of different places, and it was an arranged tour. So it's not that we were VIPs by any means, but it was an arranged tour. They knew that like whiskey writers and bloggers were arriving. Yeah. And when we arrived, it's across the street from a nursing home.
Really?
And so it gets weirder.
Roll me right over.
So the people from the nursing home come over to the distillery and they kind of like walk. There's like a lap almost. So you kind of get there and you're like, is this the distillery? Because there's these people with their walkers walking around in the,
really?
Like, oh, in the parking lot. Right. Oh, so that's totally weird. Confused. I was so like, are we at the right place? Like, did Google bring us somewhere at the wrong place? Anyways, we get in and it was literally one of these tours. It was literally like a young student going, welcome to Pendaren Distillery. If you look to your left, with a Welsh accent, which I won't even try, but if you look to your left, you will see that this is where we do the mash tun. And it was just, it was horrendous. Horrendous.
Wow. That's funny.
It was bad.
What year was that?
2015 or 2014. It was bad.
Because that's probably when they opened, I would bet.
And it was a little bit after the gentleman who actually helped them like create the product or whatever hadn't quite died yet. So
Jim Swan.
So
yeah, hadn't quite died yet.
Jim Swan hadn't died yet
at that point.
Yeah.
And it was the most bizarre tour I had ever been on.
That's sort of like the tour we had at Bowmore. It was sort of the same thing.
Was it?
Bowmore was kind of this like 12-year-old girl who didn't know anything. Script. And she was like her summer job. And
Rachel Barry didn't welcome you?
Oh.
Yeah. She was there at the time, right? She was with them when you were there.
She was, I think. And yeah, she was not there that day. No. Yeah. Oh. We got her niece.
Oh, God. Okay.
Her goddaughter. It was actually her goddaughter.
Her goddaughter from like,
they're not a blood relative.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It was a slog, as they say. Okay. Can we get us to the gift shop and we'll make our way out of here? That's funny.
Yeah.
I watched Reacher.
Oh, I didn't like it.
Really?
No.
You know, you know what you just lost? You just lost your man trapped inside of a woman's body cred.
Yeah. That's
You're
right.
A woman. No, I'm kidding. I tease.
So
I'll tell you why I didn't like it.
Why didn't you like it?
Bad writing.
The writing wasn't great.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
You can't go in thinking this is Shakespeare.
No.
My view is it's a show that knows what it is, and it just kind of goes for
it. Okay. That's fair.
That's kind of how I viewed
it. Fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's cable television fair. You know,
I thought it was fun.
It was on HBO?
No, it was on Prime.
Prime.
It could have been on TBS 5 years ago, and you would have found it late night one time, and, oh, what is this show? Maybe I'll stick with it.
Yeah, you know what it was? It was pulp.
It was pulp. Total pulp.
It was Pulp Fiction. I mean, if you ever read the books, I mean, the books are, you know, they're nothing special, but they're kind of fun. And that's what this was.
I thought the individual people were okay, not great.
I liked the girl. I thought she was great.
The girl was really good. My question to my daughter was, is this guy on the spectrum? Like, I was just like, he's got no personality. He's just like this very, you know, he's like,
all right.
I'm like, I don't get it. Cause I didn't watch it when, what's his face did it as a movie.
Oh, Tom Cruise.
I didn't watch it. I'm not a Tom Cruise fan. So I didn't watch that.
Well,
but what I found was interesting. Again, if you look at me from a scientific perspective, like I got my feet up and I'm watching it with my daughter and I'm watching this and I'm like, this man doesn't work for the police and they're all trampling through this person's, they're walking through blood, like leaving their footprints and touching everything. And my daughter's looking at me like, Mom, it's a show. I'm like, but it's not real. This is bad. This is just bad.
But remember, it's also America.
Well,
so, you know,
all right, fine.
It's a little bit of the Wild West, you know?
Are we in the middle of watching anything that's just like sucked us in?
There's a show on HBO called Somebody Somewhere.
Oh, I'm watching that too.
I really like it.
Do tell.
What's the woman's name? Bridget. I can't think of her name.
Bridget Everett.
Yes. And she's just kind of, I guess, I don't know. She's kind of a lost person, right? But she goes back home to Kansas. Like she goes back when her sister was dying of cancer.
Oof.
And she's kind of there for the final days. The sister's not there. You never see that part. Okay. This is kind of like the aftermath. and she's got another sister and her parents, and there's a whole lot of dysfunction. And she's a little lost, right? Would you say she's a little lost, Aaron? Trying to kind of find what she wants to do with her life and all that kind of stuff. Like, she's in a job she doesn't really like, but she's made some friends. This is her hometown. Right. So she kind of reacquaints herself with some of her high school friends. And apparently she was a really good singer. Right. And this one guy's like, I used to love to hear you sing. He brings her to this like church group that's kind of meeting like on the sly. Mm-hmm. And they start like have a choir and she starts singing. And, you know, she's kind of just kind of, you know, getting re-energized. What's up, Aaron? Uh-oh. All right, let's see when he comes back. The beauty of this is we could just kind of keep going and, you know, see what's going on. So I should probably stop talking about the show.
Probably.
Or should I keep talking about the show? Hang on, he's back.
There he is.
Sorry about that.
So back to somebody somewhere. Mm-hmm. Would you say she's kind of lost and kind of trying to find her way?
She's kind of lost. She's trying to find herself. She's 40-something, late 30s, and she's come back to her hometown. Her parents have got issues. Aging parents. One's an alcoholic.
Dad's got a farm.
Dad's got a farm and he really can't take care of it anymore. So her and her sister help out a lot. And it seems like a kind of a big farm for one person to take care of. And small town. It's actually Manhattan, Kansas, which is where University of Kansas is.
Oh, okay.
It's sad and it's funny. And
It's really good though. But it's like, but there's like quiet moments and it's beautifully shot. It really is. She's really good.
It's Kansas. Yeah.
The friend is really good. What's his name? Joel Hiller.
He's a Saturday Night Live guy, isn't he? I think he was an SNL guy.
I don't know. He's really good too. Everybody's really good on the show. It's just very, very good. And it feels real, you know, like the people feel real and the family and all the stuff they're going through and all the stuff. So it's good. It's really good. The guys producing it are the Duplass brothers. They didn't write or direct it, but they've done a lot of stuff. Jay and Mark Duplass. Mm-hmm. So they've done a lot of interesting shows.
Cool. Wrote it down.
You know, they got a nice sensibility. I kind of like the way they're, you know, they're storytellers.
Okay.
So it's not a lot of flash. They're just real, like, human stories.
Awesome.
So, and there was another show that they had years ago, Togetherness?
Togetherness,
That was fantastic.
That was good. That was HBO, too.
That was so good. Yeah, that was also really good.
Yeah, HBO. Yeah. I am watching a show on Hulu called Single Drunk Female.
Oh, I tried that. How was it? What'd you think?
It's good. Yeah? It's very good. It's about a 20-something girl who works for a social media company called Bzzz instead of BuzzFeed. And she's basically a functioning alcoholic. And she gets into a fight with her, and this is the first episode, she gets into a fight with her boss about something and bumps him over the head with a telephone and gets fired. And she has to go to rehab. This is in New York City. She has to move back to Boston where she's from and move in with her mom, her mom is Ally Sheedy. The girl's father had passed away of cancer or something. Ally Sheedy's like close to 60, wants to get on with her life without her kids around. Now her adult daughter's back who's got in rehab and can't drink. So mom has wine every night and she wants to date and she can't date because there's her daughter's around and her daughter's trying to figure out how to be sober. And you kind of watch this clock every episode of how many days sober she's going through rehab. You watch her kind of go through this and try to, you know, get her life back together. And it's very good. It's only about a half hour, 20 minutes. Good show. I recommend it. And I'm also watching for more pulp. I'm watching, I don't know what it's called. It's called...
I don't even know what it's called.
Pam. I don't actually know the title. I think it's Pam and Tommy Lee.
That's
on the Disney Channel, which I'm like, Disney Channel? Seriously, it's on the Disney Channel.
It's interesting because I don't remember the whole story. And so this is interesting seeing the story play out. Seth Rogen is the guy who takes the tape. He's like working on their house in Malibu and Tommy Lee won't pay him and won't allow him to get his tools back because he's a carpenter. He's like, you guys did a crappy job. I'm not paying you and you can't have your crap back. And he breaks into the house and steals. He cracks open a safe. Doesn't know what's in the safe, but he breaks open the safe. And it's all this crap. You know, it's guns and money and nothing. There's some values to stuff. But there's this tape. And then he meets up with Offerman.
Nick.
What's his name?
Oh, Nick Offerman.
He's a porn director in the Valley here in L.A. You know, he can do anything. He can get anything sold. And they go on this way of, how are we going to monetize this thing? This is the beginnings of the internet. That's actually a pretty interesting thing because there's this thing. We can't sell this in a store. How are we going to sell this thing? And somebody comes to him, hey, you could do this thing on the internet. What the hell is the internet? We have a website. What's a website? It's really interesting. And the two people that play Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson.
Yeah, how's Winter Soldier?
Is that Winter Soldier?
Yes, yeah, Sebastian Stan.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. I know where he's from. He's really good. And Lily Allen?
I can't think of her name, but she was in Baby Driver.
She's really good. I mean, she's got the Pam Anderson thing. Uh-huh. And there's an episode where what her beginnings were.
Also Canadian.
That's what I was going to say.
Pride and Joy of Canada. Is that what you're saying?
Pride and Joy. I mean.
Goes to a football game and she gets on the Jumbotron and some guy from Labatt's comes up to her and says, hey, you could be the next Labatt's girl. And she calls and she becomes a Labatt's model. And before you know it, Playboy calls her. And the rest is history. Of course, it's going to be a tragic story. And it's very sad in parts of it. She loses a baby and she's a big star, but she wants more out of her acting career than just being on Baywatch. And, you know, she's seen as just this one Barbie doll. It's pretty tragic, actually. It's kind of fun. And it's an interesting look at that era, the 1990s, whatever that was.
I don't remember much of that era. Not because I was drinking heavily, but because I had two small children.
That'll do it to you.
Mine were a little bit later than that. Joanne, anything you've been watching recently that you want to mention?
Again, I don't know why I've gotten on this kick of watching documentaries quite a bit, but Netflix had a Monty Python Truth, and then underneath it says The Lawyer's Cut, and it's fascinating.
Really? When did this come out? Was it recently?
I don't know when it came out. I'd have to look it up.
Because I've seen a couple, and they go into, was it Terry Jones? No, not Terry Jones. Who was the one that really had the drinking problem?
He was the first to pass away, yes.
Graham Chapman?
Yeah, Graham Chapman.
Yeah.
Because he was like,
they didn't even know he was an alcoholic. Like, until it was way past the point of, they just thought, oh, that's just him, like, you know.
Yeah, they said he was pretty rough to deal with.
He was really bad. It was like after lunch hour that he was useless. It's called Monty Python, The Truth, and I believe it's called
It's called Almost the Truth.
There you go, Almost the Truth, and then underneath it's like The Lawyer's Cut, which is hilarious.
When did it come out? Is there a date on it?
It looks like 2009?
What? Oh, wow. Well, that makes sense because Terry Jones
passed away, right?
He did.
He died of cancer, right?
No, I thought it was related to the disease he had, which was like Alzheimer's or something to that effect.
I may have seen it.
I had never seen it before and was
seven episodes, it looks like.
Yeah, I was kind of like, you know, when you sit down and go, I want to watch something, and then you just start like flipping and flipping and flipping, and you spend 20 minutes just flipping. I have this thing now that I'm single where on Valentine's Day, since I don't have a significant other, I watch a Monty Python something.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. I had just finished watching Life of Brian, sat here, died laughing. I don't care how many times I watch it. And then found this. It was like, fuck yeah. You know, put my feet up and poured a whiskey and away I went. Right. So it was there you awesome.
Go. That's awesome. I'm going to watch
really
that.
Really good. That looks great. Really liked it. I learned things that I didn't know.
Do either of you watch Euphoria?
No.
I don't.
I made it through the first season. I mean, it's good. It's a little gritty.
My daughter loves it.
And as you know, with two teenage boys, it's like, you know, it's a little odd. Of course, all the people that are playing the teenagers are in their 20s. Mm-hmm. That's beside the point. But it is pretty good. Second season actually is better. I think it's a better season. And I like that they're doing little side stories. Zendaya is fantastic, especially this season. Give her another Emmy.
What about movies?
I haven't seen a movie for a while.
Well, with the Oscar buzz, I try to watch some of them.
There's a Korean film, the one that's got all the buzz. What is it called? Is it Drive My Car? Or I can't think of what the name of the movie is. But it's going to premiere on HBO Max, I think, in a couple weeks. It's supposed to be excellent.
Like Parasite excellent?
Yeah, it's supposed to be really, really good.
Did you guys see Parasite?
I did. I really liked it.
God. I did not.
Parasite was cool. Parasite was bizarre.
I loved it.
That was really, really good. Yep. Korea.
It's the hot place right now.
Between Squid Game and these Oscar-nominated films, this Drive My Car is supposed to be really, really good. That's what it's called. It's called Drive My Car.
Drive My Car.
And I think it premieres. Is it Japanese? Oh no, it's Japanese.
I think it's Japanese.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it's Japanese. But it's by Ryusuke Hamaguchi.
Oh, very well done.
So it looks pretty good. My kids are obsessed with anime, so. There's a lot of Japanese going on in the house.
I want to see Belfast.
You want to see which one?
Belfast.
I saw it.
I loved it. I want to see it.
Did you? I want to see it.
You know what? I went in with high expectations. I think my expectations were too high. I think I'll like it better the second time.
I always keep them low.
What didn't you like about it?
Again, I think it was just an expectations thing.
Okay, but what were you expecting?
I don't know.
Color.
I saw the trailer.
It's black and white.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. I thought the acting was great. What's her name was fantastic. Judy Dench, as always. Kieran Hines was her husband. He was really good. And Jamie Dornan was great. And the woman was great. I think I just need to see it again. So, I mean, I didn't hate it. I liked it. But I would give it like a B+.
But why? Why?
I don't know. I am an emotional watcher. So if I'm not invested, going back to Miracle Workers, by the end, I'm rooting for everybody. So they won me over. You know, I care about what's going to happen to the couple. I want to see the kids go. Now I understand God and his problems and his issues.
Right.
So now it all makes sense. You know, so by that point, I'm all in. So it has to win me over. Like, remember Succession when it first started? It took about four episodes.
It's the investment. You got to get invested in the darn thing. Right. I want to see Licorice Pizza.
Me too.
There's only one reason I wanted to see Licorice Pizza, and that's because of the damn trailer. And it had me on a Bowie kick for about 2 weeks after that.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
The trailer's fantastic. It is,
so very well done.
I would give it an Oscar just for the trailer.
It's a good trailer. Yeah.
What is it? Life on Mars? Is that the song?
I think it's Life on Mars,
Or Space Oddity or one of those
songs? Space Oddity, yeah.
Ah, so good. So good.
I have this connection to Licorice Pizza because that was it was a record store chain here in Los Angeles or California in the 70s and 80s. And I worked at a record store in college in the 80s and kind of a bigger chain. And there was a Licorice Pizza like four stores away. And it was the cool store.
Would you like steal records from them and try to sell them?
I wouldn't steal records, but the manager of our store would make us go over there to kind of see what's on sale over there. And we would, you know, hey, they have the Ramones. Hey, we should sell the Ramones. And so we would, go in there and check out the Licorice Pizza. So, but it's, you know, it's a very LA-based movie. And the girl from Heim is the lead. And the boyfriend is the son of the guy that killed himself a few years ago, the actor. He played Truman Capote.
Another method actor. God.
This is the son that plays
him.
This
son?
Really?
That's the son.
Because he's in a lot of the Paul Thomas Anderson movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He's in Boogie Nights.
So this is fascinating.
Isn't that terrible?
We'll get to it.
Googling that shit.
I just saw him because what's it called? It's been on a constant loop in my house. Fantastic Mr. Ripley or whatever it's called. So he's in that too. What the hell's his name? Philip Seymour Hoffman.
So this is his there you son go. That plays the boyfriend. And the love interest, I guess. And
it was as bad as Wordle just now.
The thing is about this story. Well, so the Heim family lived in the valley, and Paul, what's his name? Paul Thomas Anderson. He was the Heim mom. She's a teacher, elementary school teacher. He was a student of hers, like in third grade, and she's an art teacher. She would tell her kids, her daughters, you know, that Paul Anderson guy, he was in my class, and I've got this picture that he drew in third grade, and she has this picture, and they used to hear about this all the time. And then one day, I don't know how he hooked up with the Heim girls while they're trying to he directed their first video. He's still a Valley guy, and they're still a Valley family, and they've kind of, it's all come full circle. So, and in the movie, apparently her sisters play her sisters in a couple scenes, and her mom and dad play her mom and dad in a couple scenes, and it's like they're not really acting, they're just being my mom and dad. So kind of fun. So that's on my radar on the Oscar stuff and Belfast. I do want to see those two.
Okay. But that Drive My Car coming to HBO Max.
And Drive My Car.
I want to check it out. It's supposed to be long, but it's supposed to be really good. I don't even know what it's about. I don't really care. I kind of like going in not knowing what's going on. It's actually kind of better. I think it's kind of fun.
There's a dog movie. What's the dog movie that's in the Oscar?
Oh my God. That one blew my brain.
Is it good? Is there a dog in it?
It's called The Power of the Dog. The Power of the Dog.
Oh, the what's her name? Jane Campion movie.
Oh, it's Jane Campion.
With Cumberbatch and what's his name is in it? What's the guy's name? The guy he was in the Fargo TV show. Yeah, that was pretty good. It was a complete slow burn because the first hour I'm like, what the hell is going on? But it was so beautiful to watch. How could I not watch it? It was absolutely stunning to watch. The music was fantastic too, and they really ratcheted up the tension by the end. What I really liked about it, I'm not going to spoil it, is I really had no idea where it was going in the end. They really threw me. And it took me a couple of seconds to figure out what the hell just happened. But it was good. And what's his name was actually, was okay. What's that guy's actor? Cumberbatch. He was pretty good.
He He did a really good job. Remember I said I'm the one that spoils everybody's movies? I'm like, because I figure shit out halfway through the movie. I did not see that coming. I didn't see the ending coming at all. Like, it was one of those moments where I think I literally rewound it. Like, I was like, what? Uh-huh. And kind of went, you know, and then sat there for a second and rewound it as far back as I kind of tried to figure it out, and then kept watching it and still didn't, like, I was like, oh my God. Like, and then I raved about the movie. My friends all thought I was nuts. They were like, I didn't think it was that good. I was like, oh my God. Like, that was amazing.
Oh, so it's Benedict Cumberbatch, Kirsten Dunst, Jesse Plemons.
Jesse Plemons, from Breaking Bad.
I didn't realize he's married to Kirsten Dunst.
What?
They have a couple kids together.
Mind blown.
He's like early 30s and she's like 39.
Oh, that's terrible. They got like two kids together. Oh my God, that's like terrible. Older woman.
No, I'm just saying, they got two kids together the whole bit.
Whatever.
You know, they're happy. They're good. And they're making movies together.
What I think you guys do really well is you do the separation, the degrees of separation extremely well. Like, throughout this entire, we'll call it podcast, whatever it is, this thing that you guys do, this thing love to do, you do this well.
I watch TV and all I do is I look at people. I know that person from someplace else. That's all I do. I don't even know there's a story going on.
But you do that so well. Like, just every single story is linked somehow, like 2 degrees of separation. It's like, you guys are excellent.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Well, you do even better. Yeah. You're doing like 2 degrees. Like, this is just, my mind has been blown like 5 or 6 times, and it has nothing to do with the whiskey. It's more about the conversation. So thank you.
But you know, it's weird. There is these weird connections in Hollywood.
It's incestuous and they only hire the kids.
It's true.
Well, like the guy that does Euphoria, his name's Sam Levinson. Remember Barry Levinson? That's his dad. So you grow up around all this stuff and you eventually get into the business, right? Look at Ben Stiller.
Yes. Exactly.
Stiller and Mira. So the best way to get into Hollywood?
Have a parent.
Ben Stiller's pumping some new show.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. My wife watched it. It's said on it was
Apple
really
Plus,
good.
Right?
Yeah, Severance.
I watched it. Duh, I watched it. Yes, I forgot that he was part of that. Yes, that was weird.
Yeah, he directed it.
I think he doesn't direct the whole thing, though, does he?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Apparently, he had cancer.
What?
At one point, he was like sick for a while.
Yes, he had prostate cancer.
So what are you saying? That doesn't count? Is that what you're saying?
Sorry?
Are you saying that doesn't count?
What did you say?
Sounds like you're discounting it.
It counts.
It sounds like you're discounting. He had prostate cancer. It was nothing. It was nothing.
It counts. Believe me, it counts. Well, I won't go into any further conversation about this.
It's like Czechoslovakia. They zip in, they zip out.
They zip out. That's a Stripes reference for all those who haven't seen listened to our Stripes episode.
They changed their name. It's all good.
And we normally, in one of our longer episodes, which is this is kind of
turning into a longer episode.
We always do a memorial bit, and we have to. I want to add a name here, Ivan Reitman, a Canadian. And he passed away, I think, last week at the ripe old age of like 75.
Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
Ghostbusters, Stripes, Animal House, Meatballs.
And then, speaking of family and incestuous nature of Hollywood, you got Jason Reitman.
Who did the new Ghostbusters.
I actually liked the last Ghostbusters. I saw it and I cried.
The one that his son did. Yeah,
it was
I want to
really
see
well
that.
Done.
That's the and all the kid from Stranger Things, isn't it?
Yeah. But it was really well done. Like, I think it'll speak to a lot of audiences.
And it's got the sexiest man alive, Paul Rudd.
Who doesn't That's age? True. I don't get it. Like, what the hell?
He doesn't. He's great.
Who was in I Love You, Man.
Yep. I Love You, Man.
I Love You, Man. That's right. Which is a big Rush movie.
Oh, yeah?
And they're Canadian.
See? It's all connected.
We can connect any two things to Canadians, but...
It all comes down to Canadians.
Big country, not a lot of people, but so connected.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. Big country. Lots of connections.
Big country.
We could talk all night, but we really should let this wonderful woman get to bed because she has to go save the world and Canada tomorrow.
Her only job is to keep the riffraff out, aka us.
Americans, yes. The riffest of the riffraff.
Yeah. See, we put the riff in riffraff and she's trying to get the riff out of riffraff.
I don't know. I've always considered the fact that you guys put the fun in dysfunction, to be quite honest, but...
Well, we do that too. Yeah, we do that really well. That's our specialty. And remember, F is for family.
F is for family. Yeah. The only F word I know is family.
Joanne, we cannot thank you enough for coming on our little dog and pony show.
Wait, who's the dog and who's the pony?
I was going to say, which one's the bitch? I mean...
Hey now!
Hey! Ho! Hi-ho!
We'll say it's Mike, because Mike's not here, right? We'll blame
that's
him.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
Sorry, Mike.
Oh, this was fun as usual. This was great. We talked whiskey. We talked the Angel's Envy Caribbean Cask.
Delish.
Rum cask.
Rum cask. Delish. Right?
Delicious. We loved it again after revisiting it. And we talked Miracle Workers, which I think we kind of give it all a thumbs up. I'm going to finish it.
Slow and then aha.
Get to episode 4. Much like Succession, get to episode 4. And it's only 20 minutes an episode.
I'm on season 3 and I'm going to plow through this one. And actually there's a season 4 coming and I'm looking forward to it.
You'll waste a lot less time on Miracle Workers than you will on TikTok.
Joanne, thank you so much for coming on. It was great to see you again and visit. It was so fun.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really nice to see you guys again.
And where can these fine folks see our show or listen to this thing?
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, mm-hmm. Spotify, Stitcher, Audible, and Google. And of course, you could always find us on boozedancing.com. If you have questions, comments, show, drink, or cocktail suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Subscribe, rate us, give us a couple likes. We're available in Canada now, I believe.
You are.
Well, not in every province. I believe we're not available in Saskatchewan.
Oh, no, it's Quebec. Nothing is available in Quebec.
So is Quebec like China where they just shut off the internet?
No, I would never say that out loud. No, never.
You can't say that, but we can.
The Great Wall of Quebec.
All right, folks. Cheers.
Good night, gentlemen.
Cheers.